A delicate intermezzo by Brahms, played by the pianist Cedric Tibeya. And do join Cedric and the violinist Alina Ibragimova live here on BBC Radio 3 tomorrow for their lunchtime concert from Wigmore Hall. Hannah French introduces that straight after the 1 o'clock news. It's the Early Music Show next.
Mental Health Awareness Week on Radio 3. Time to reflect on our well-being and on how music can sustain us.
So this piece just makes me feel happy, it makes me feel safe, it makes me feel comforted.
With guest health professionals.
What does mental illness sound like? Can music be the descriptor that words can't be?
Music mixes for mental health. And only for Radio 3, a live meditation to music on essential classics on Friday morning at 11:30. Mental Health Awareness Week. Join us on Radio 3 and BBC Sounds throughout this week.
This is Radio 3, and now it's time for today's Early Music Show, presented by Lucy Skeeping.
Comparing the wind to love, Margaret Philpott of Gothic Voices with a Trouvère song from medieval France. Today we're exploring some very old songs indeed, the poetry and music of the Trouvères. And to guide us, I'm delighted to welcome here in the studio two experts on the subject, Megan Quinlan, researcher in medieval studies at Sweden's Uppsala University, and Joseph Mason, research fellow in music at New College, Oxford. If I can start with you, Megan, who were the Trouvères? What did they do and where did they do it?
The Trouvères are poet-composers of northern France within the period of roughly 1150 to 1320. And they were writing songs that crossed all kinds of linguistic, cultural boundaries. They're best known for writing about courtly love, fine amours. A narrator typically sings about his unrequited love for a lady, but the ladies in these songs are often described in quite formulaic terms. They have the same physical traits, so it's clear that they're more of a kind of symbol of unfulfilled desire. And a lot of our Western European ideas about romantic love come from these kinds of songs.
Joseph, I think perhaps people will have heard of troubadours, sort of wandering minstrels in popular culture. Were the Trouvères different?
The troubadours come from the south of France and spoke dialect of Occitan, and they're slightly earlier than the Trouvères. So the troubadours first come to prominence around 1100, and they continue into the 13th century. The Trouvères speak and sing in Old French. There are wandering minstrels, known as jongleurs, who would go from court to court singing songs in exchange for clothing and money. But most of the Trouvères were not jongleurs. Many of them were aristocrats. So, for example, one of the most famous Trouvères is the Count of Champagne, Thibaut IV, who later became the King of Navarre in northern Spain. And we have Trouvères of other classes. So many Trouvères were clerics. And particularly important in the second half of the Trouvère period is the town of Arras in northeastern France, where noblemen, clerics and merchants are all mixing together, sharing and singing songs.
Aside from the love songs, which they're most known for, they were writing political songs, especially because so many of them were very powerful political figures. They were writing devotional songs, songs to the Virgin Mary, pastorals, which we'll talk about later, dance songs and drinking songs, quite salty songs. Even the highest ranking aristocrats were singing about quite salacious things.
So how were these pieces performed? Did Trouvères accompany themselves on instruments or sometimes unaccompanied, as we heard just now?
This is a really difficult question to answer. There isn't a lot of information about this. We rely a lot on images in manuscripts which might depict a Trouvère holding an instrument of some kind. And we rely a little bit on descriptions of music making in fictional romances and so on.
And there are also household accounts that show you the kinds of instrumentalists that were hired by the courts, but we don't know exactly what kind of music they played.
Well, we're going to hear a couple of contrasting recordings to illustrate the different ways that today's performers are interpreting this music. Megan, the second of the songs we're going to hear in a moment is very upbeat. Can you tell us what it's about?
This second song, Prenez y garde, is basically just saying, don't look at me. Don't look at me down in the woods. The narrator is male and it mentions a pretty shepherdess. And my guess is that he is interested in this woman and doesn't want anyone else to see him sneaking up on her.
Well, a more reflective sound first. A single voice, and it's all about love, of course.
À la rousseau de la belle saison, que tout rien se resplend en verdor, que son bien près et végé puissoun, et l'hiwese chante de se la flor. Lord, sweet joyance, quand we lis cet amour, quand
Que le de pièces me vient.
Two Trouvère songs from medieval France, the Dufay Collective with Prendez y garde, take care, and before that, A la douceur de la belle saison, the sweetness of the season, performed there by Gothic Voices. Now, Megan, the rhythm of those songs was really quite fixed, you could almost say repetitive. Is that a usual kind of sound you would expect?
No, not really at all. The Trouvère sources do not generally show us in any way how the rhythm should be, except in a few cases when Trouvère melodies are combined with what we call motets. Then we do see rhythmic notation because the motets are written in this way. These were multi-voice compositions. The tenor, the bottom voice, is taken from Gregorian chant, so it is straight from the liturgy, and then other voices on top, often in different languages. They can be about love, sexual subjects. It's a real mix of what you might call high and low or sacred and secular.
So if clerics were singing this music, they might have been singing about fleshy, amorous topics as well.
Yes, we like to think of clerics being very pious and separate from the world, but actually they were quite happy to sing about quite earthly desires. One genre is the pastorelle, in which a knight, the first-person narrator, rides out into the countryside. He encounters a shepherdess, tries to woo her, sometimes forcefully. Sometimes the shepherdess gets away. Sometimes she capitulates willingly. Sometimes there's sexual assault.
So it is quite a problematic genre, but it was found in Latin in some clerical sources. But often clerics tried to sanitize these pastorelles by reusing the melody but writing new words. And this is what's called contrafacture. Probably the best-known figure who did this was a Benedictine prior named Gautier de Coincy, and he sort of made it his life goal to turn Trouvère songs into songs directed toward the Virgin Mary. So we're going to hear both a pastorelle and a reworking of a pastorelle by Gautier de Coincy. It's quite a typical pastorelle about meeting a shepherdess, but Gautier's reworking is a refrain form, and the refrain basically says, Marie, or Mary, is much better than Marot, and Marot is often the name of a shepherdess in these pastorelles. So he's saying that you should choose Mary instead of Marot. In a way, he's really trying to convert these aristocrats to lives of Marian devotion.
Thank you.
Two 13th century French songs showing how an existing melody of a secular entertainment could cross over and be used for devotional purposes as well. As we're listening to this music, Megan and Joseph, I'm trying to sort of picture how these performances would take place. I mean, how did it actually work?
There's some evidence that Trouvère songs would have been sung in the all-male space of the court, the salle, the main room, the chief aristocrat presiding, men standing around him, and the jongleur or the trouvère singing to them.
Some aristocrats had their own private performers, and these musicians were often playing after dinner. So this was part of the long hours, especially in the wintertime, you can imagine it was dark, and there was storytelling and there was song.
And then there's also evidence that women's songs might have been performed in more private settings.
There's an entire genre called the chanson de toire, which is the working song, and this was sung apparently by women while they worked together.
We often think of troubadours as being connected with the Crusades. Is that the same for trouvères too?
Absolutely. We have Crusade songs written by the trouvères from the Second Crusade in the middle of the 12th century right up until the end of the crusading movement in the late 13th century. About half of the Crusade songs that survive by the Trouvères are about love, and imagine the Crusade as the reason for separation from the beloved. The other half try to encourage listeners to join the Crusade to achieve their own personal salvation. The song that I've chosen is by Guillaume de Dijon, probably composed around the time of the Fifth Crusade in the early 13th century. Now, although Guillaume was a male Trouvère, the song is actually written from a woman's perspective, and she's singing of her feelings as her beloved has been separated from her when he goes on crusade. This recording is quite interesting in that the group Studio der Frohen Musik has tried to capture something of the exotic eastern landscape of crusade by using microtonal slides and eastern sounding instruments.
the wistful Chanterai pour mon courage, I sing for my courage, by Guillot de Dijon. A woman waits anxiously for her lover to return safely from the Crusades. So, Megan Quinlan, the trouvères were singing about big events abroad. What about subjects nearer to home?
Yes, song was an important way of expressing political discontent or spreading propaganda. And one of the songs I've chosen is actually a Hebrew protest song against anti-Semitic violence committed by the Northern French elite. And it uses the melody of a trouvère love song by Moniaux de Paris.
Do we have any idea how songs would have overlapped between the two communities, Jewish and Christian?
Well, although Jewish communities were separate in some ways, they were linguistically integrated. They spoke French and they were aware of courtly love. There are Jewish wedding songs that use courtly love imagery. But this song in particular is an entirely Hebrew manuscript, and the love song refrain in French is transliterated into Hebrew characters. It's reacting against the public burning of the Talmud during the 1240s. 20 years later, Jews had to wear badges. So there are some very striking graphic images in this song. And using a trouvère melody makes a comparison, I think, between the courtly lady's sort of oppression of the trouvère lover and the much more serious oppression of the Jews by the French elite.
Shalfu tsarim harbam libam, hafu dvarim lochen bekirbam, shadedu arim evyon bribam, kiresam tifkana. Hodenu yetarim lachtot mribam, vestafu chaverim afar borbam, umipaz yekarim dakrub harbam, chatetam leribam tfalachna. Umamam hakubilem, nilmam
Thank you.
song of Jewish protest, set though to a Trouvère melody, performed there by the group Alla Francesca. More from the Trouvère soon after this week's Early Music News.
Thanks, Lucy. I'm Mark Xiao, and in today's news. In the spirit of their recent album 50-50, the Ensemble Les Concerts de l'Hosteldieu are performing at the London Festival of Baroque Music this week. The concert will be half Baroque, half contemporary, half British and half French, mixing music from Henry Purcell and Jean-Baptiste Lully with new compositions by David Chalman and Martin Harry. The mezzo-soprano Axel Werner joins the ensemble.
The concept behind 50-50 is a fabulous meeting of two composers with Le Concert de l'Hosteldieu Ensemble. David Chalmin, who wrote a piece inspired by Purcell, and Martin Harry, who composed inspired by Lully. It is an honor to interpret what was on the minds of the composers from the 17th or 18th century. There is no great distance between contemporary music and Baroque music. We speak essentially the same language, that of the taste of sounds and of decks and the emotion that this music provides.
Axel Werner there, whose concert with Le Concert de l'Hosteldieu is on Monday 15th of May at St John's Smith Square in London. Clashing swords and fierce battle cries, some of the sounds that might come to mind when we think of 18th century warfare. But the latest research from Dr. Julie Ann Sadie Goode in the journal Early Music turns that on its head. She explores the journals of military officer Joseph Sivan, whose affection for his basse de viol forged a community of music-loving soldiers.
The Chevalier de Cancy, Joseph Sivan, was a French military officer who kept a diary during the War of the Spanish Succession at the turn of the 18th century. Woven into his diaries, a rich seam of musical reminiscences about operas and concerts that he attended, and those in which he took part when on campaign. While at school in Paris, Sivan learned to play the basse de viol, and later, as a soldier tells us, that he carried his instrument to war on the back of a donkey. He wasn't the only musical amateur in his regiment, and that officers frequently played together informally, even after a day on the battlefield. However, by far the most affecting entry records a trip he made in 1704 to a field hospital to serenade a friend who was seriously, possibly fatally wounded.
Dr. Julie Ann Sadie Goode. And a highlight to look forward to coming up here on Radio 3. Throughout Lunchtime Concert this week, from Tuesday to Friday, you can hear Baroque music from the Mediterranean. On Tuesday's concert, listen out for canaries, cuckoos, water and trees as the ensemble L'Apotheose perform their concert called The King's Garden with music by Tommaso Giordani. And that's your early music news.
More early music news next week. You're listening to The Early Music Show on BBC Radio 3 with me, Lucy Skeeping. And we're exploring the music of the trouvères of medieval France. Now, Megan Quinlan, we're going to continue to talk about some of these politically slanted trouvère songs. The idea of getting people to protest through singing, of course, has been used a lot through the centuries.
Absolutely. And the trouvères wrote all kinds of political songs. And a lot of the political songs were contrafacta. So they were reusing trouvère melodies with new words. There's a set of three songs by a trouvère named Hugh de la Ferté, which were written during the baronial revolt in the early 13th century against Blanche of Castile, who was the queen of France, the mother of Louis IX, Saint Louis. And by reusing trouvère melodies, Hugh is comparing Blanche with the courtly lady in all of her sort of deception and treachery and untrustworthiness. So I've chosen one of Hugh's songs where he is accusing her of having an affair with another trouvère, Thibault of Champagne, who was her political ally. But then I've also chosen a song attributed to Blanche herself. It is a devotional song. It's in Blanche's voice. And I think perhaps it undoes some of Hugh's slanders by showing Blanche as a ruler who was devoted to the Virgin and comparing this queen to the celestial queen, Mary.
And I guess the idea of using an existing trouvère melody, something that everybody might already have known, helps your cause in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great way to get people to learn your song, and it's a great way to get your political message to be spread as well.
And if people already know the original song, you can almost change their memories so that they don't know if they're singing the new one or the old one. So it's a very clever way of spreading propaganda.
Sa signoria apri dusa damada paradi kad fuva
A song attributed to Blanche de Castile, Queen of France, no less, although the jury's out as to whether she wrote the tune or the words or indeed both. And before that, we had a Trouvère song by her political opponent, Hugh de la Ferté. How important a role would women have played in Trouvère culture in general?
There were a number of what we would call women Trouvères, so high-born women aristocrats, whose names we find in the songbooks. But then also Blanche of Castile, for example, had a private singer who was with her for many years named Melana. And there are also women who played instruments.
One genre in which women feature quite prominently is the jeu parti. This is a sung debate between two poet composers. There's a stark either-or question that is posed, and the two poet composers each choose a side and debate it for the rest of the song. The assumption has always been that these songs would involve two different performers. Many of them were composed in Arras, in a confraternity called the Arras Puy, and we know that there were both male and female members of this Puy, so it's perfectly possible that a jeu parti involving a man and a woman would have been performed by a man and a woman.
How contentious did these songs get? Did the audience start taking sides?
Very possibly. The word jeu parti relates to the modern English word jeopardy, and some of these questions are quite philosophical in tone about love, but many of them are also quite salacious. So, for example, which half of a woman's body is better, the top half or the bottom half? Or is it better for an old man to have a young girlfriend or an old woman to have a young boyfriend? And these songs are often quite humorous, the two Trouvères slinging insults at one another.
And is there a winner?
There are judges mentioned. So we think that there might have been someone who decided or that they voted on it or something like this, but we don't know who won.
So what have you chosen?
The song I've chosen is between Thibaut the Count of Champagne and a lady who's not named in the song, but in one source, the lady is named as Blanche de Castile. Thibaut asks Blanche, what happens to love when the two lovers die? Thibaut argues love comes to an end and Blanche argues that it persists.
Quand vous mourrez, ai-je mes cierres cabanes, car après vous ne m'y brouillez-je mieux. Que de votre amour s'éveille, que cantarez ça, biauti, ai-je tant, que je croyais bien qu'après vous y êtes faillie.
Thank you.
A Trouvère debate song by Thibaut de Champagne, performed there by Alla Francesca. Well, we're nearing the end of today's programme, I'm afraid. Megan Quinlan and Joseph Mason, it's been wonderful to have you both here to lead us through this Trouvère repertoire. What do you each find most interesting about it?
Well, I think it gives you a glimpse into a really powerful cultural fiction, so to speak, courtly love. And by following the melodies, you can see how this migrated into politics, into devotional life, into parody, into all aspects of life. And I'm also quite interested in continuities between images that we see, for example, at Valentine's Day, someone stealing your heart, Cupid piercing your heart with an arrow, and the imagery that you have in these songs, which in some cases is the origin of this stuff and really comes from medieval medicine, classical medicine, theories about what love sickness does to the body.
I'm interested in the ways that trouvères find endless variations on quite common themes. So there are hundreds of songs written about courtly love. There are also over 100 Je Parti, the debate songs. And I think they open up some really interesting questions. Firstly, they question some of the central tenets of courtly love, but also questions about how these songs might have been performed and what the social function of such songs might have been. Is it to work out some kind of tension between social groups, for example? Is it to create entertainment? Is it to produce ideal forms of musical masculinity?
Well, thanks so much, both of you. And Joseph, I think you've chosen our final piece. What is it?
This is a Je Parti by one of the most famous trouvères, Adam de la Halle, and he sings this Je Parti with his friend Jean de Grivelet. The question they ask is it more important to encourage those who are already in love to keep loving loyally or to reform those lovers who love falsely?
Ou qu'elle peut mieux chousse peine en prier, qui veut amour par parole saucher, ou à celui qui aime louer, pour chou qu'il n'est voulant d'une talent. De souhait congère, ou à celui qui aime faussement pour l'avouer. Adam de Chouvou jugerait brièvement, et il louait à la pouée à prêcher. Et en ce moment qui était une sentière, pour fait qu'il dit à laisser hurlement, Dieu fait trop mieux qui sa peine dépend aux losanges, tant qu'on l'a fait amener. Jean de Grivelier, sur fondement faible et mauvaise fée, mauvaise édifier, laissez le faux amant à justicier. Si vous m'aidez à celui qui ne ment, qu'on voit par des fautes d'enseignement, main dévouée, et main de tour qui n'arrête ne ment à damager. Adam, sachez que mal ou qui n'entende, et mal entend qu'on ne peut concilier, te fait trop main qui loue une bonne ouvrière, que ne fait celui qui a ouvré la porte.
choune s'il ne voit pas clairement pour droit juger, il n'est pas plein de bon entendement au mien qui
A debate song by the 13th century trouvère Adam de la Halle, sung by Henry Wickham. And it ends today's early music show, presented by Lucy Skeeping, with guests Megan Quinlan and Joseph Mason. In next week's programme, Lucy uncovers the home life of George Frederick Handel on a visit to Handel and Hendrix in London, which is just reopening after 18 months of renovations. That's at the usual time, 2 o'clock, next Sunday afternoon here on Radio 3. It's Choral Evensong next from Bristol Cathedral.
What makes an essential classic? Is it a work you find yourself humming all day? Music with a timeless nature? Or a piece that gives you the urge to dance around the kitchen. For us here on Essential Classics, there's no one answer, which is why every day you'll hear a mix of the old and new, the lesser known and famous, the traditional and surprising, but always music we love. Essential Classics with me, Georgia Mann, every weekday from 9 till noon on Radio 3 and BBC Sounds.